Well, welcome back to the podcast. Once again, I'm Steve. This is my wife, Sean.
We're on episode 3.
This is pretty wild. We wanted to thank everybody who's been tuning in, who's been sharing this on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram TV and YouTube and all the places that it has been. It's been such a joy to see your comments and see how this is blessing you as a worship leader, because I know for us in all of these interviews, we have been learning a lot. And so even though we've been leading worship for a long time and have been a lot of places, there's so much wealth and wisdom in all of these people that we've been interviewing. So we thank you for tuning in and believe it's going to be a blessing.
Today we interviewed Travis Green, and it was just an amazing, impactful interview for us.
I wanted to stop the interview and take notes. I'm like, where is my notepad? Now, not everybody is going to know Travis Green, but he is, well, huge on Instagram. He's got like a million followers, but he is really a leader in the millennial grouping, whatever you want to call us.
He's also a pastor. And
yeah, him and his wife pastor a church out in the Carolinas, and he himself is a worship leader and is a musician, a creative. But one of the things that I really noticed in watching all of his music videos and listening to his music is how multicultural he is. And so we invited him to come and talk to us about that topic, and what he had to say about being multicultural
so
in the church is worth every moment of your time and attention.
Yes.
And so definitely check that out. On top of that, he is just hilarious. And
yeah, super, super fun.
So you're going to enjoy this, and really encourage you to stick around and, again, share it with your friends, because I believe this is a timely message for us in the body of Christ. So without further ado, let's get in our conversation with Travis Green. Well, we want to welcome everybody out there. We're sitting here with Travis Green.
Yeah.
And I know some of you are like, I can't believe it, it's Travis Green. And other of you are like, I've never heard Travis Green before, because the body of Christ is a huge place, and we got people all over the world. Well, really anywhere, there's one person, God sending another person to reach that person.
Yeah.
And so we have been getting to know you a little bit just via, you know, your Facebook and all of the internet stuff that there is out available. But are so glad that you joined us, first of all, and then wanted to ask you, you know, in your lane, what God's called you to do. Like, when people ask you, what do you do? What do you even tell people?
Man, what do I do? Yeah, I'm really simple, man. I like to have fun. I love family. I love church. I'm actually one of those weird people who actually like church. And
We love church.
So, you know, in any way of just inspiring people, but that's what I do. You know, music is a small part of kind of my makeup, but, you know, I enjoy doing that as well. So
that's awesome. Now, you mentioned family and church. You and your wife, right? Mm-hmm. Co-pastor a church.
Yeah.
And so tell us about that. How did that come to be?
Yeah. We pastor a church together called Forward City Church, and it's in Columbia, South Carolina. It came to be because I was in Atlanta Airport and just felt like this holy burden, this call to start a church. And I was like, whoa, like, I wasn't expecting that. And I called her and I was like, hey, babe, you think we'll ever start a church? She's like, yeah, I've always known. I was just waiting on God to tell you. Crazy.
Right, that's how it works.
Yeah.
Right, women always know first. So it's the craziest thing. And then we started it, and here we are now 3 years later, and it's been crazy.
Wow. Yeah. So then you guys co-pastor together. So talk about, how does that work?
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, she's the glue, you know. She do the hospital visits and all that stuff. I kind of just show up and preach most of the time. I carry most of the weight with preaching.
Okay.
And she preach a few times a year as well. But, you know, she has a heart for the people. She really has a shepherd's heart, man, big time. She's the one that'll stay up and cry with people and, you know, all of that stuff. I don't know if I'm that emotionally attached. I'm just like, oh, man, that's really bad. I hate that happen. All right, anybody want to play video games? On to the next, you know. She's like, oh, God, my heart is broken.
But it takes each gifting, you know, like you look at the fivefold ministry.
Yeah,
you know, like,
I might be more of a preacher than a pastor.
Yeah.
She's a hardcore pastor. Yeah.
Aww.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I know for us, as we've traveled, we just see the giftings on each church, and you know, everybody needs something different. And sometimes you need a kick in the pants, and sometimes you need somebody to cry with. And so for you guys, you know, how does ministry then work with you being traveling? Because music is a big part. Are you still leading worship? Are you?
No, I don't lead worship at church. No. No. We have an amazing worship team. Though.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I just kind of get up to speak. But
Do you get to coach them at all?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Hands-on mentorship.
Yeah.
Not as much as I would like just because of my schedule. But I'm pretty close in mentoring the people. The worship pastor there, he travels with me a good bit, too. Okay. So I'm really hands-on in his life. But it's amazing. Our worship department there is great. And then I lead worship kind of on the road, you know, and shows or, you know, festivals and different stuff like that. But it's really cool. I mean, for me, it's not really a balance. It's more of a rhythm. I just try to be wherever I'm at when I'm there and try to give all of me to that particular moment. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So for you, like when people come to your events, you know, what are you hoping they're taking away? Are you presenting messages? Are you leading them in worship? Is it, you know, what's that call look like?
Yeah, I think it's all of the above. You know, I think that God anoints our personalities. You know, I heard a preacher say once that God don't, he don't save your personality, he save your soul. So if you're, you know, whatever you are, like however you're wired, like it's cool and it's for his glory, you know, unless it's sinful, of course, you
right.
know, it's like, well, I just gotta, oh, that's a good word for me. I really do enjoy getting drunk every night. And God's going to anoint my drunkenness. No, you shouldn't get drunk. But you know, I'm goofy. I'm wild. I'm energetic. I'm loud. I'm spontaneous. And so that's what happens in my show. It's really my personality.
Yeah.
You know, I love God. Sometimes I'll cry in his presence. Sometimes I'll laugh in his presence. I'll run, I'll jump, I'll spin. And so that's what happens at our church. That's what happens when I'm on stage. It's just like all of me is like an open book. Like, boom, here I am. I don't hold secrets.
Awesome.
So whoever,
you
know, who you see, what you see is what you get. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So what is like a weekly schedule or a daily Ooh. Schedule look like for you?
It depends what time of year it is. It depends. You know, right now we're getting it. You know, I've probably been in, I don't know, 7 states in 7 days or something crazy like that. So, I mean, right now we're moving, you know, because it's album release
cycles,
time. Yeah. So the album comes out November 1st. Mm-hmm. So we're thumping right now. And then when we're touring, you know, that's pretty crazy too. I mean, we'll do, I don't know, 30 states in 30 days. So those are crazy, you know. Or probably like in 40 days, 30 states, not 40 days. So, I mean, those times are really rough and crazy. So it depends. It depends on what I have going on.
Yeah.
Typically, what I like just downtime. I love being home.
Yeah.
I love hanging with my boys. I have 3 boys, 5, 3, and 5 months. So I love wrestling with them and hanging with my wife and, you know, kicking it. That's kind of a... It's a great schedule for me, but it's just not realistic most of the time.
Yeah.
It's meetings and interviews and concerts
stuff,
and message prep and college homework and just so much. So
wow. So when you're kind of like mentoring your team at home, your worship team, what are some of the key things that you tell them?
Oh, great. Yeah. So I you know, I've led worship for, it feels like forever now.
Mm-hmm.
It hadn't been that long. It's probably been 16 years, but it feels like it's been forever. So one thing that I just try to teach is just a few things. One, the opportunity, you know, that it is really a privilege and an opportunity to lead people into the presence of God. But you want to lead them somewhere that you've been. And so the weight is on you really spending time with God.
I don't know how to get there.
Yeah, spending time with God so that you're not so shocked if something happens. You know, it's like, you know, when I first started off, you know, I went to a charismatic church in college and, you know, I would be overwhelmed by the presence of God. I would lead worship for the piano. And every week out in the, under the piano, like the presence of God is here. It was like, yeah, you can also be in your dorm room, bro, if you just worship away from here. So, so I try to I teach that, you know, really get acquainted, not familiar, but just acquainted with a real pursuit of God off of stage.
Yeah.
And Sunday should be an overflow.
Yeah.
It really is. The Sunday is not, you know, I shared with our church a few weeks ago. We don't come to church to get in the presence of God. We come to church to get in the presence of God corporately.
Yeah.
We don't come to church to unpack his word. We come to church to unpack his word together. Like, everything that we do in church should be an overflow of what we do in our private life. And it's just an opportunity to do it with other people. Yeah. Not an opportunity for us to do it one time a week.
Yeah.
You know? And so I teach them on that. I teach them not to, you know, in terms of distraction, I tell them don't be distracted and don't be a distraction.
Yeah.
You know? So,
that's great. So what are some key things that you would say?
Or stories that you could be like, this happened. I mean, you don't need to out every member of the worship team. But...
Yeah.
Well, what would I categorize as distracting?
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, the key is, like, you're a waiter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. Like, you're
serving.
You're serving.
Right.
So in that, your song selections, your placement, you know, and it's harder for those who are really gifted because it's like, like, we don't need that. Like, we need to be led, not to be wowed.
Yeah.
Like, no one's coming to church to be like, woo, oh my God, they're amazing. Like, who cares?
Hopefully, you know? That's not why they're coming.
Yeah, it's like, okay, you're amazing. Put it on a YouTube channel. Yeah. No one cares here. Yeah. You know, like, we want to be ushered somewhere. And so, you know, just it's you supporting and serving the people. So that's one way. I think if what you're doing is so far, it's so out of reach, you know, it's not attainable, it's not approachable, it's not digestible for the consumer or the listener, then it's like, you know, I can't keep up with you, you know. To me, and I categorize wins this way. For me, if I'm leading worship, the win for me is when the people are singing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's the victory.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's not.
And they're
when
singing
people...
so loud, you can't even
exactly.
hear yourself.
Exactly. Like, I'm like, oh, we won.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So those are just some practical things.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. That's so great.
So I've been listening to a lot of your music, and just taken by the style, elision of so many things. Like, and we're kind of everybody's growing up in a genreless.
Yeah.
Environment now where we're pulling from all these things, but it's very reflected in your music. And so I was curious kind of what your upbringing was or how intentional that is in what it is you're doing. Because you've got some gospel, but you've got some like CCM stuff.
Yeah.
You play acoustic guitar quite often.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, I grew up very diverse. You know, my elementary school years were spent in a very like urban, which is another way to say black community. and there was one white guy in our class. His name was Troy Bartlett. He was one of my best friends. His dad was a police officer. And we moved from there to a city from Columbus, Georgia, to a city called Warner Robins, Georgia.
Oh, yeah. We've been there.
Yeah.
Some friends of pastor there.
Yeah.
But military town.
Yep. So we moved to Warner Robins, Georgia, and I became Troy Bartlett. I was the only black guy in the classroom.
Oh, you know, so your roles were reversed.
Yeah, and so when in Rome, you know, you just had to figure it out. So instead of playing football in the yard, you had to learn to play street hockey, you know, all that kind of stuff. But what was cool was it helped me by nature. You know, this is around 11 years old. It helped me to become diverse and just have a different. I think the key to diversity is this. It's not that we tolerate each other's differences, it's that we celebrate each other's differences. Mm-hmm. And it's just recognize, okay, we may be different, we may see things differently, but finding a way to celebrate that. And I was kind of forced, I was thrust into that community and that world.
Yeah.
And so what it did for me, it expanded my heart to be able to both appreciate and comprehend, okay, things are just a little different. And then growing up, I worked at, you know, big black churches. I worked at big white churches. I worked at big, or even small, you know, diverse multicultural churches. And just kind of, I became this melting pot of all this different stuff. It's like, you know, I learned over here how to flow in a charismatic moment.
Yeah.
I learned over here how to flow in a very structured, planning center moment. You know? So you just gotta, you kind of learn both worlds, and that's what you hear in the music. You hear this, you know, kind of gumbo, if you will, of, oh man, I can hear flares of all these different things. Some things are spontaneous, some things are planned, but it's just from my upbringing and from the work environments that I've had.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, do you find that you're getting a pretty even response across?
Oh, absolutely. You know, on our tours, the rooms are very, very, very diverse.
That's awesome.
Extremely diverse.
Yeah.
So it's really cool.
Yeah.
I think a lot of churches, you know, they're looking for that. And like, how do we do that?
How do we get more diverse?
And you mentioned, you know, celebrating differences instead of tolerating. Are there any other pointers that you can give people?
Steve. This is my subject, Steve. You get me hyped over here. You get me excited. Yeah, man. If diversity isn't a part of your Mondays, then it's a gimmick on Sundays. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is diversity doesn't happen in our pews. It happens at our dinner tables.
Yeah.
And this is really what it come down to. Like, how, you know, I've worked at churches where it was like, the, you know, this is written on the whiteboard. We must diversify. We must diversify. Yeah. And so let's put more color on stage, or let's put more white on stage, or let's put more Hispanics on stage.
And let's do a gospel song.
Let's do a gospel song, and let's do this. Yeah. The real question is, how much of your lifestyle is diverse? Not your Sunday mornings, especially with leadership.
Yeah.
You know, and I know the answer by who attends your child's birthday party.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
That's,
you know,
so good.
Oh, we just went straight to your house, man.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. If I come to your child's birthday party and everybody there looks like you, everybody's there make the same money that you do. Everybody, you know, that tells me everything I need to know. And so don't pray and believe God to do something that you're not willing to participate with.
Oh, man.
You know, and so I think that once that happens, once
I need to like take notes, our own podcast.
Once our lives begin to diversify away from Sundays, it happens. Yeah, it'll be inevitable. It won't have a choice because now I'm not going and just trying to gimmick you to coming. Like, we're actually friends.
Yeah.
And it's just a difference. So I want my kids, you know, I want diversity not just be represented in my church. I want it to be represented in my home.
Yeah.
I don't want, you know, I want my kids to grow up and say, yeah, I've seen people of different colors, of different backgrounds, of different beliefs even in our house. You know, that's what Jesus was about. And so, and that is a stretch beyond our preference and sometimes even beyond our comfort. But that's what it calls for if you're serious about being the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
Well, I like how you mentioned, you know, diversity is not just color. It can be economics. But then, like, we go to South America and we find out there's all these walls amongst different countries or different parts of different countries or, like, Peruvians don't like these people. And you know, you're just like, oh, my goodness, you know.
Yeah.
So it spans so much further. So, man, that's that was worth the price of admission.
Yes. Right there. That was
awesome.
Yeah.
So in your music styles, you're trying to blend all those things. Like, how does that happen? Because we go to churches and we'll put in a gospel song, but it sounds just like a CCM song.
Sure.
The gospel church will put in a CCM song and it sounds like, and so, how have you blended that? I mean, obviously it was just your upbringing. But,
I mean, that has a lot to do with it. It's really no getting around that. I mean, I've had experience on both sides of the tracks. So for me, I don't have to try to
make how something. Do you portray that, like, in your production? And
it just comes out. Yeah, I don't, like, you know, I don't have to, like, oh, let's try to be extra CCL. You know, I just pick up a guitar. Or let's try to be extra, you know. But for those who don't have that upbringing, I would say collaboration is really the key.
Yeah.
You know, like, you get someone who has a different way of processing music and invite them in the room. And that way you're not trying to imitate as much as it is to collaborate.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, I really think that's the only way to really do it the right way. And there are some songs that are beyond my reach, no matter how diverse I am, like Good and Loved. You know, this new song that I did with Stephanie Gretzinger, and I knew the sound I wanted, and I could produce a sound, but it's my sound. But I wanted it to be bigger than my sound. I wanted it to sound like Journey. I wanted to have this... It was beyond me. So I called a white friend of mine. His name is Aaron Robertson. He's incredible. He's, you know, the main producer for Elevation Worship.
Mm-hmm.
And great friend of mine. I was like, y'all have this idea. What do you think? Mm-hmm. And he took it, and that was Journey. You know, I could have never done that.
Yeah.
You know, I wrote it, and I had the concepts. But to make it that, to make it, like, authentic white. To somebody who was authentically white.
Yeah,
you know?
It's
so.
Just like you trying to...
Well, I've tried to cross different genres before, and I was like, I'll do some dubstep.
Yeah.
I'm not a natural
dubstepper. Yeah, you need to get a dubstepper.
Yeah.
And it's like, yo, this is my idea. How do I bring this alive? Yeah. And I think that's great, because God... There's a reason why God anoints different people.
Yeah.
And I think if we can tap into that, and know that, man, together, like, with my ideas or with my lyrics and with your, you know, whatever you're good at, your specialty, like, yeah, this could be really dope, instead of me, like, being too afraid to initiate the conversation, which a lot of times that's just it. It's right, like, oh, how here. Would this be received, or how would this, whatever, instead of just, hey, man, let's just give it a shot and see what happens. And I think that's what, and if we don't do that, music as we know it, both CCM and gospel, they will become extinct quickly. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking in the next 10 years. I mean, all these divisions and segregation in music, if we don't cross-pollinate, they will literally be dinosaurs. Yeah. Because a generation is coming up that don't know color like we did.
Yeah,
they just, my sons don't. What? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Right.
And so you're seeing it in other genres. Country music, you know, the biggest argument like in the past year is this country or not?
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know what to call this. Yeah. It's the biggest country song, but it's hip hop. I don't know what to call this. You know,
why are they rapping?
Why are they rapping? I'm so confused. But that, I mean, that is the way that we're going to continue to be relevant for generation. Yeah. And Christian music as a whole, we have to catch up to that. The only way we're going to be relevant in the future is if we really not just diversify our efforts, but diversify our preferences and cross-pollinate and collaborate and really bring in the sound of heaven to earth.
We hope you thoroughly enjoyed our conversation with Travis Green, and we have a couple more things to share with you after we tell you one short message.
Well, the National Worship Leader Conference that we put on here at Worship Leader Magazine is now officially scheduled for July 21st through the 23rd here in the Nashville area. And we want you to be a part so much that we're actually offering all of you guys who are watching
25% off.
25% off. So if you go to worshipleader.com/NWLC, then you will find all of the information that you need, including our new schedule, which is going to be amazing. So you have some time to go and explore Nashville. And, you know, if you want to get home that night, you can take the red eye as well. But when you sign up, make sure you enter in the code PS2020, which stands for Podcast Spring 2020. You get 25% off for whoever you want to bring, all of your team, your pastor, your friends, your neighbors. Bring them on. It's going to be an amazing time of worship and education here in the Franklin area.
Travis Green, my worst bomb worship leading is Christmas, man. Here's why. In black churches, Christmas means chorus. and maybe a verse. So we're talking, glory, glory, glory to the newborn King. Jesus, that's our Christmas. Nah, white churches, no, man. Art there an angel sing, glory to the newborn King. And the actual verses. Who knows the verses to that stuff? And it's always words that
are crazy, yeah.
Don't even exist anymore. So I'm up there singing. I think it was either Heart the Herald Angels Are, it was Noel. It was one of them that I never heard the verses until I started working at this church, mega church. And of course, Pro Presenter blacks out. So my confidence monitor gets stuck. And I'm up there, Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. And we get to the verse, and I'm like, come on, guys, you know it. Come on, you all know it. And the entire band is dying laughing at me, and I'm laughing. I just start smiling. It was a bomb, and there's nothing I could do about it because, I mean, listen, let's face it. There's three things worship leaders need. We need the Holy Spirit. We need our instruments, and we need Pro Presenter. And without Pro Presenter, there is no worship. That's Bible.